Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
President Trump doesn't need my advice on this because he is very much focused on the issues and how he will fix what Kamala Harris and Joe Biden have broken over these last 3.5 years. Donald Trump isn't running for president for himself. He is running for president because he sees the risks and the dangers that we face as a country right now, specifically because of the Harris-Biden administration. And he wants to serve our country and serve the American people and actually fix what they have broken.
Tulsi Gabbard commenting on Donald Trump and campaign suggestions, maybe a little debate suggestion, since Tulsi Gabbard famously debated, I guess, then Senator Kamala Harris in the 1-2 punch that may have been one of the main reasons why Kamala Harris just dropped out before any vote was cast in that Democrat primary election prior to, let's see, that would have been 2020. So Kamala Harris, no support from the Democrat Party. She didn't stick around to see if they'd support her. The polling wasn't good. She dropped out. Tulsi Gabbard drops out eventually as well because the Democrat Party took her out.
I think he did a fantastic job in his debate against Joe Biden. Clearly, the results speak for themselves, and he will do the same in this debate with Kamala Harris. You know, Vice President Harris should not be underestimated. Clearly, as some of the media reports have shown, they have been studying my debate with her in 2019 and setting aside almost a week of solid debate prep with the lights and the stage and the stand-ins and everything. Donald Trump hasn't been doing that because he doesn't need to do it. He's been out speaking to the American people. She's taking this debate seriously. She will come prepared with memorized lines, ready to recite and deliver them in what I think will be a very effective way. However, she cannot run away from her record. President Trump looks forward to making sure the American people remember what she has done over these last 3.5 years and how she had the opportunity to fix what's broken, but she's the one responsible for breaking it.
There's a lot that Kamala Harris has gone back and forth on. There's a lot of things that she has essentially said she's changed her position on, but she is very, very committed to the idea that she hasn't changed her values. Now, if you go policy by policy, you'll find out she agrees with Donald Trump on quite a few things. All of a sudden, the border wall, no tax on tips, both things that are pinnacle and paramount to Donald Trump's policy for running for reelection. So we know Kamala Harris agrees with Donald Trump on quite a few things. But we've realized is that she doesn't really agree with Kamala Harris on very many things, which is going to be harder for her to reconcile. Here's Bernie Sanders explaining what we're seeing.
No, I don't think she's abandoning her ideals. I think she's trying to be pragmatic and doing what she thinks is right in order to win the election. My own view is slightly different. I think that in America today, there are a lot of people, rural people, working class people, who no longer believe that the United States Congress and government represents their interests, who are dominated by big money interests.
So Bernie Sanders, they're saying what we all know to be true in political campaigns, which is people do and say things that they need to do and say in order to try to get elected. But generally speaking, what they have to do and say isn't just completely and totally the opposite in the face of what that said candidate has done and said before. And when you think about Kamala Harris's time as a senator, when you think about her time as attorney general or as a prosecutor, and especially in her time that is the current state of the United States of America, as her time as vice president, she's got a pretty established record of being incredibly progressive. The first time that she comes out and wants to be, you know, a little bit more moderate, a little bit more sensible on those things that are really bothering you, like border security, like immigration and the wide open borders that we have right now under the Harris policies that are in place. She's the one who was put in charge of the border. Call it what you want. Don't call it what you want. She was put in charge of it. We have Joe Biden blessing her with the responsibility because Joe Biden said she's the most qualified for the job. Which is a side note, really says something about the people in the Biden administration, doesn't it? Kamala Harris, the most qualified person for the job. She goes down to those triangle countries and she says, don't come. This is after Joe Biden was on a campaign stage saying, come on over. We're ready for you. And then they come and then they praise Joe Biden for being able to come into the United States and pursue the American dream that has now been morphed into this idea of Democrat control. Open the doors. We hand you the money. We hand you the American dream. And you and I both know the American dream was never about it being handed to you. It was about having the opportunity to earn it yourself and to not have limits as to how big you can dream here. The opportunity is in front of you, but it's your responsibility to go get it. Not with this Democrat Party, not with the Biden-Harris administration. They want people to come. They don't stop people from coming here. And when they figure out a way to work in some sort of border security bill, what they end up doing is pushing for a streamlining of the process to get people in. They're not saying close down the open, porous parts of our southern border. They're saying we need more judges. We need more paper pushing border patrol agents, which is not what they're there for. We need more border security to make sure that people are coming in and being streamlined through the open gaping holes in our border so that they can come be here. Why would they possibly be doing that? Well, there's one reason that most political pundits, most people connected to national security, most people on the inside of political campaigns have been saying regularly. And sometimes I think I'm like, I want a little more hard proof so that I can convince somebody who is a complete and total doubter that this is what they're actually trying to do. Fox News reports today that, if you haven't heard this yet, KamalaHarris.com now has a framework of policies, which is on the eve of the debate, one day earlier than I anticipated they would get those policies up, but they are up. And according to Fox News, Vice President Kamala Harris is doubling down on her support for an earned pathway to citizenship for illegal immigrants in a new campaign policy page, even as she presents a more muscular approach to border security overall. Quote, Vice President Harris and Governor Walz believe in tough, smart solutions to secure the border, keep communities safe, and reform our broken immigration system. The lengthy issues page of her campaign website says the page itself comes as Harris faces pressure over her policy positions, both in relation to whether she stands by some of her more radical policy positions from her 2020 presidential primary bid and to what extent she differs from the President Biden administration. I said at the beginning of this that we have found that Kamala Harris is politically, going back to what Bernie Sanders said there, she's got to say what she's got to say to get elected. Everybody knows how this game is played. You're not too stupid to understand that. And Bernie Sanders is bold enough to say it out loud. We've found Kamala Harris agreeing sometimes with Donald Trump. She agrees sometimes with Kamala Harris of the past. But you know who she agrees an awful lot with? Joe Biden. If you look through her policies on her website, do you know whose policies these are? It's the second phase of Joe Biden. And to me, that means if she spent 50 days not answering questions of the American people, of you, of the free press, if she has avoided the opportunity to articulate policies the entire time she's been trying to advocate to the American people that you should choose her to represent you at the highest office in the land. She has not come out and spelled out her policies, but now that they are worded out at KamalaHarris.com, and they are an extension of Joe Biden's policies, I would challenge Joe Biden to answer questions on these very policies. I don't think he can do it, which is further proof that Joe Biden is not running Joe Biden's administration. And Kamala Harris is picking up where Joe Biden left off. And we are looking at potentially 4 to 8 more years of the direction that Joe Biden is putting us in if these policies on the KamalaHarris.com website are to be implemented. It will be not just more of the same, but an exponential growth in the direction of the same. Kamala Harris agrees the most with Joe Biden because Joe Biden is the most current test of what the Democrat Party is. You can't compare Kamala Harris to 2020. That was ages ago. That was back when you could say anything and literally just be not Donald Trump. And people would be like, whatever. The policy I'm interested in is orange man bad. You are not orange man, therefore you good. That's as simple as it needed to be in 2020. Except for now, those radical leftist progressive policies that the Biden administration did usher back in to Washington, D.C., and were able to, if you listen to him brag about his legislative successes, these are things that Congress was able to get done with a couple years of a Democratic Congress push through, and here we are. How's your grocery bill? How's the gas tank treating you? How is everything that you have to go buy when you have an appliance breakdown in your house and you have to get it fixed? Parts are more expensive. Labor is more expensive. You got to replace it. Lord have mercy. The prices of everything are going sky high through the roof. You might hear him brag about a little bit of a raise that you might have enjoyed. But if your raise isn't outpacing the cost of everything, it feels like a pay cut. And the Biden-Harris pay cut is hurting every single American living in this country right now. And it's only going to get worse if Kamala Harris's policies, which she has now at KamalaHarris.com, are to be enacted. It won't take much to enact them because it's more of the same of where we are right now. When Kamala Harris says we're not going back, the threat of we're not going back means we can't give this country back to the people. We have to keep it where it is right now. We'll never make the progressive, mountainous successes that we need to make if the American people are in charge of this government once again. We'll never be able to push the successes that we see in the Green New Deals and in the far-left progressive overlording, over-regulatory, big government mindset of the Biden-Harris administration. Will never be able to retool everything the way we want to if we haven't sufficiently scared American voters into thinking, gosh, I know that this is hard. This is difficult on my checkbook. This is difficult on my savings account. This really sucks for my credit card bill, but I trust them. They know what's best. They aren't Trump. It's hard, but the hard part is my contribution. There's a word for that kind of government. It's not a democratic republic. It's not what we live in the United States of America. It doesn't work in an American style of life. You can't have an American dream if it's predetermined by somebody who sits in a government elected office. If it's limited by somebody who sits in a government elected office, you can't have that. Every time Kamala Harris says we're not going back, it's because the Democrat Party, the far left progressive stranglehold on the Democrat Party. And I know all of you listening right now who are Democrats right now, there are most of you, if not all of you, are disgusted with certain parts of your Democrat Party. Doesn't mean you're not going to vote for them, but there are parts of that. Internally, you got a fight on your hands. If you want a free country, if you want a we the people scenario, you cannot vote for more of Joe Biden's policies. Kamala Harris will take it way beyond the next level. And her policies articulate that. It's the next step in the Biden plan. And she's not going to back down from that because there are too many people invested in the running of this show, counting on her to pull this off, or the whole house of cards comes tumbling down. Donald Trump and Kamala Harris will face off tomorrow in a debate, and we are going to carry it. Are we carrying that live here?
We'll be carrying it on 97.1.
Perfect. You can tune in there. And then, of course, we have a sold out debate watch party again. Guys, you just get those tickets so fast. But I'm really excited. We're going to be out at Dave & Buster's once again. I anticipate we'll be live streaming on the Andy Frye YouTube page. So make sure you subscribe and you can hang out and chat with us. You can't really watch the debate there, but we'd rather you just pop it up on 97.1 and listen to it, stream it on the Odyssey app, watch it on your TV. And we're just going to hang out and have our little group chat together. I got to come up with a Kamala bingo. I have to do that. I have to make that happen. That's my goal for tomorrow. The YouTube live chat poll, how do you want your candidate to handle the debate? Do you want them to be aggressive in attack mode, or would you like them to be mindfully demure? We need to know what you think about that. I want to read a couple of these comments that have been set aside here so far. Gary said, I voted mindful and demure. Trump should help undecideds be mindful and how unqualified Harris is to be the president and be demure. Unless she hits below the belt, then let her have it. What do you think? Let us know on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. Let us know with your comments and your vote. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
I'm voting based on substance. I'm looking at the fact.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We can't live the next 4 years like we did the last 4 years. This is no contest. Harris raised taxes, Trump reduced taxes. Harris wants to stop any energy production, Trump built it up. Harris is weak on national security, Trump was strong on national security. Harris has allowed the border to be infiltrated by 8 million people. Trump was much harder on the border. This is about my family. This is about America. These are about issues. We should be very clear. If you don't like him, say you don't like him, but you can't say that his policies are worse than Kamala Harris's. That's just not a fact.
You know, it's all of these people on the right who are coming out right now and endorsing Kamala Harris, like the Dick Cheney's of the world and the Liz Cheney's of the world. Oh, those two names come together. Why do you think Dick Cheney, former vice president, Republican vice president, would come out and endorse Kamala Harris? Maybe it's because he loves his, it's his daughter, isn't it? Isn't?
Yes. Yeah.
Liz Cheney. Maybe he loves his daughter more than he loves his party. Because certainly voting. Well, I don't know. Maybe there's that whole war thing. So anyway, you got Adam Kinzinger coming out and supporting Kamala Harris. And people continue to be like another Republican, a strong, bold Republican. Mitt Romney has said he's not going to vote for Donald Trump. He's not going to vote. He didn't say he's going to vote for Kamala Harris. But all of these people who, you know, the sun's going down on the careers of all of these people. None of them are in the peak. There is not anything these people could say about a policy that is out there, about politics that is out there that isn't about Donald Trump that people would pay attention to. Nobody is looking to Dick Cheney to find out, oh, what should we do with the Middle East? Let's ask Dick Cheney. Nobody is saying that anywhere at all. Nobody is wanting to know what Liz Cheney thinks about healthcare funding or education or anything like that. She has made, this is a her thing. This is a them thing. They have made their entire identity in politics adjacent to Donald Trump. It's the only thing that matters to them. And so when they come out and they say something negative to Donald Trump, there's a whole group of people in the news media out there that are just going to lap that up because it serves their purpose. And since they know that saying these types of things serves the purpose of people who will continue to platform them, they continue to say it. Of course they would. That's how they stay relevant. There's nothing like a Democrat being like, you know, these honorable and respectable Republicans like Adam. What? Like, I'm sorry. You don't get to say that. You are not inside the party. If you want me to talk about honorable and respectable Democrats like Joe Manchin, you're probably not going to accept that for what I'm saying either. So while I say it, I don't expect it to carry any weight. I don't expect it to influence anybody. I don't know how many Republicans that are out there that are anti-war, more populist type of Republicans, want lesser taxes on the middle class, want to be able to live their lives. I mean, everything that you can say about a Republican Party right now is, it feels like, what the Democrat Party used to nobly stand by at the beginning of my lifetime in the 80s, maybe a little bit before. There's a massive switch that is taking place. And in that massive switch, the party that is the actual advocate for the little guy, the party that is the actual advocate for the individual American and not some sort of big idealistic, this is how you should live your life. And these are the things that are the most important. And it's okay if you don't agree with us that they're the most important. You just got to support us so that we can get done what we need to get done for the greater good. And leading up, probably within the last, probably 15 years ago, I think, when Barack Obama took the scene, and it was after a war-torn September 11th hangover, where we're 2 days away from acknowledging that year once again, when we were so tired of the death and the destruction and the what felt like the lack of answers, the lack of conclusion, Barack Obama comes on and he promises hope. And change. Yay. Okay, but what do we hope we change? What are we trying to move away from and move into? And then we hear words about equity. We hear words that in Kamala Harris's own words talks about the importance of equal outcome. And Kamala Harris feels as though her role in government is to help achieve equal outcome. That's the most anti-American thing in the world. Equal opportunity? Let's go. Lock arms. Let's make sure everybody has equal opportunity. But from there, what happens next? That's on you. It's not predetermined by some government official. There is a movement in our country right now that is strangely Republican, and it's kind of the features of the old Democrat Party that I remember growing up and hearing, like, the goodness of the Democrat Party was about caring about the little guy, about showing up for the little guy, about representing the little guy. The Democrat Party says they still do that, but they don't advocate for them. They use them. They talk about them to use them, but they don't benefit anything for them, because look, we're talking about an election where democracy is at stake. It couldn't be any more dire than it is right now, and the Democrats are in charge. How do you reconcile those two things? There is a lot that needs to be restored in this country, and freedom is at the epicenter of it. The individual American's freedom. Here's Donald Trump.
Second, I will bring back free speech in America because it's been taken away. They've taken away your free speech, and the fake news is a threat to this country. They are just horrible. These are horrible people. Not everyone. I mean, I know most of them up there. Some are good. Hello, Brian. No, some are good, and most of them are just absolutely terrible human beings. They know what's going on.
The idea of free speech coming back into play, that's how we keep everything in check. And the First Amendment, yes, it's about free speech. Most people think of the First Amendment. It's my way of being able to say what I want to say without government coming and telling me that I can't. That doesn't mean your employer or whatever some association you're with can say, we don't agree with that. They can handle that if it doesn't connect and flow with what your employer says. You can't just go out and say terrible things without any repercussion at all. But you can't have the government coming in and putting their hand over your mouth and silencing you. That's a big part of the First Amendment, yes. But another huge part of the First Amendment, maybe the most important part of the First Amendment, is the idea of a free press, one that advocates for the American people. And in order to protect that First Amendment right for everybody, you need a free press that is interested in pressuring all forms of authority, all elected officials, all people who are put into a position to represent you, to advocate for you, because truth is what you deserve so that you can make your decisions. Not so that you have to look at government like it's some sort of parental figure that's going to show up and you don't need to know everything. I don't tell my kids everything. If there's something going on and it's not great, I might tell the older ones a little bit about what's going on, but they don't need all the details because their parents will handle the situation or manage the situation in whatever way is necessary. We are not the children of the American government. We are the ones who deserve the truth. We are the ones who need to know what is real. And we don't need parents in government or babysitters in the media who are trying to soften the blow so that we can end up not knowing what's really going on, but just trusting those people who are in charge of us to handle the situation.
I understand. You know.
Oh, it's going to be good. We're going to be fine. We're going to be fine. We are all in this together.
Yes, we are.
We're going to be fine.
We are.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are.
Huh?
Thank you,
did you get some spices?
A okay, Spice Lady Kamala Harris, she goes to a spice store to start talking about how we need to start being more unified. It's the same thing that Joe Biden said to try to get elected. They painted the picture that Donald Trump is this hateful, evil person, that his presence alone is the presence of darkness and despair. They've made him out to be this villain so that they can be a puppies and sunshine and rainbows type of positive, joyful presence. When Kamala Harris is greeted by this sobbing supporter, she consoles her and says, "We're going to be fine." Now, I'm like thinking to myself, what would Donald Trump do if something like this happened? I don't think that he'd turn away a crying, sobbing supporter who was scared about what was going to come. I can't look at Kamala Harris and say, what are you doing? Like, why are you addressing this woman who looks like, okay, lady, get it together. But I'm not going to look at a presidential candidate and be like, gosh, they got everything under control. It'll be just fine. I think Donald Trump would double down in that moment and say, we have to win. We have to win because the policies that are on the other side that in theory, you know, I would like to ask that lady, maybe not while she's crying, would be a little aggressive, I would say. What are you so upset about? What has you so afraid? And when you wait for that moment where they give you an answer, I wonder how realistic that answer would actually be. I wonder how much truth would exist in the answer provided by somebody who was that scared of Donald Trump becoming the president again. I don't know if it would be rooted in fact. We can't know. It's all anecdotal. But feelings is what this Kamala Harris campaign has been peddling in. They care very much about making you afraid. And tomorrow at this debate, Donald Trump is going to have the opportunity to impress upon America if he's a fearful guy, if he's somebody who should push you into being afraid because he's going to take away all abortions. That's the first thing that they're going to do. The first thing they're going to do is try to press the reproductive rights. And when they say, this is an interesting thing you got to pay attention to, they talk about reproductive rights, which is 100% only an abortion conversation. But then when you start talking about abortion, they're like, reproductive rights is way more than abortion. It's like, okay, I see what you did there. The issue at hand that causes people to be emotionally charged is abortion. That's the one that they are going to push. That is why in Missouri, they're trying to get, you know, these questions on the ballot. They do that all around in all the states, because even in a red state, abortion, especially depending on how you word that question on the ballot, will bring out the people who are single issue voters to come and support a pro-abortion take in the state. Donald Trump has said repeatedly, much to a greater portion of the Republican Party's dismay, that the rights are with the states and that's where it should be. He's not looking to sign any sort of national abortion ban. He's pulled back on the abortion issue to the point where Republicans intra-party are not really terribly happy with him on that issue. It's a to Bernie Sanders quote from earlier there. It's Donald Trump, I believe, doing and saying what he's believed the whole time about abortion, which is he really doesn't want to have anything to do with it. He seems to me to be the classic male pro-choice type of guy. Doesn't like abortion, doesn't want abortions to happen, doesn't really want to make that an issue for him in his presidency, probably in his life, where he's going to just let that be and hope that women choose life, but knowing that they can certainly choose abortion. Kind of a cop out, if you ask me, but I understand the politics behind it. And I also think, as somebody who is incredibly pro-life, that the more Republican politicians push pro-life measures, the less successful they will ever be. I think it's a cultural issue. And I think that it's something that you and I have to fix, not something any president is going to fix, any governor is going to fix. I think it starts with us. I think it starts with communities. I think it starts with churches. And I think that Republicans who sit by and wait for the right guy to get elected, the right girl to get elected, are being lazy. And I put myself in that category. As somebody who is an activist in that regard, I should still do more. I should still do better. When Donald Trump debates Kamala Harris tomorrow, they both have the opportunity to introduce themselves once again, as if nobody knows who these people are, to the American people. CNN's headline, Harris campaign hopes Tuesday's debate is a chance to introduce the vice president to undecided voters. My Lord in heaven, she is the vice president of the United States. And Kamala Harris just got August. She got the whole flaming month of August, where Donald Trump kind of set himself aside, which I think was a smart move. They had the fanfare of the convention. They had Oprah, which is relevant to some people still, apparently. What other billionaires did they have? J.B. Pritzker, they landed J.B. Pritzker on that convention stage. It was right after Bernie Sanders, which is hilarious. No bad press for Kamala Harris in August. She got a month. And she is the sitting vice president of the United States, probably closer to being the president of the United States than any president, a vice president in my lifetime. But yes, let's introduce Kamala Harris to the American undecided voter tomorrow night. We want to know what you think about it. The YouTube live chat poll for today. How do you want your candidate to handle the debate? I don't know who your candidate is. I have a gut instinct on the majority out of you out there, where you might lean. But do you want them to be aggressive and in attack mode? Or do you want them to be mindful and demure? We would love to know what you think about it. We've got some responses here on the YouTube live chat. Mark said, after Trump was shot, he preached unity and decorum. The debate would be a better time to show this and let her not show demure. I think that's some good advice. What do you think? Annie Fry YouTube channel. Go vote. Leave a comment. Wiggins America on what we missed over the weekend. Next.
Wiggins.
Oh!
Monday Roundup.
Yeah.
This here's the wildest ride in the wilderness.
I resist the temptation doing the Monday Roundup to just bring you box office news over the weekend every time.
That's good, because I don't care.
Because, yeah, I don't
watch any movies.
Most of us probably don't care, but when there's a big story, like, for instance, when we were talking about Wolverine and Deadpool, that was a big one.
Go on.
What? That, no.
Huge. Life-changing.
Hey, it was. Brad went and saw it. That means that it was worthwhile.
That was helpful.
Beetlejuice.
Yay.
Has drawn $110 million in its opening weekend, making it the third biggest premiere of the year and the second biggest September premiere ever. The first biggest September premiere ever was It. You have seen It. We talk about It.
Not the
enough.
New one.
Oh, you haven't seen the new one?
Hell no.
Oh, I thought you had.
No. Why?
I think because...
Why would you think that I would have?
Well, I think I'm getting you confused with my wife, who talks
idea.
About... Yeah.
They'll never say that again.
She wants me to watch the new It really bad. And we've talked about It enough that I just put you in that category.
Sounds like we're talking about something, you know.
It. Yeah, you want me to watch It. You know what I mean. We can't sit around the kids. No, it's
not our kids. Don't be confused about that.
So Beetlejuice is killing it at the box office. It was a much bigger opening than they expected. Do you have any interest in seeing this movie?
No.
No?
No. No.
Really?
Yeah, no.
Oh,
I didn't like the original.
I didn't like the original because I think I was 6 or 7 when it came out, and it was very, very dark and scary. I've watched it more recently, and it's a good movie, but I do want to see this movie. I guess I'm alone. I guess I'll go see it and give him my
There's no
bucks.
Way you could have predicted that.
I know. I thought you guys, especially Brad, I didn't know if you were on the fence to me. I thought Brad would be interested in seeing Beetlejuice.
No, Brad's totally a Beetlejuice kind of guy. He felt judged. Like, felt you just made a statement about him.
Yeah, and I thought it was a positive one.
No.
I didn't even know. I wasn't even trying to insult
you. What about
you
me says wants to see Beetlejuice?
I don't know. I just thought you'd like your cinema buff.
No.
It's a big sequel.
No. I did hear that it's a Tim Burton film.
Mm-hmm.
I did hear from, or read, I should say, from somebody on Twitter that it was just a good, entertaining movie, that there's no, they always say, there's no woke stuff in it.
Good.
That's what they said. I don't know. I'm still not going to see it.
That's important.
If it happened to be on my television in my house when I was there, I'd probably play online poker while I watched it.
Man, you really don't care about seeing this movie. I almost am ready to go see it.
This is why we traditionally don't do movie stories, because I don't care about seeing any movies.
Well, let me say the movies
it's 2 hours of time that I don't have.
So that's the number three movie of the year. The other two bigger movies of the year.
I did see Inside Out.
Inside Out 2.
Yes.
Okay.
For my kids.
Well, but it's on the list.
Yeah.
And you went to the theater.
It was good. I did.
So it's killing it. Inside Out 2, I think, is the number one movie of the year.
Went to see before Inside Out 2 in the theater?
Maybe Deadpool and Wolverine.
Mm-mm. Maybe Frozen 2.
It's been that long?
Yeah.
Our kids are just at the age. We're starting to go back to the movie theater. We pretty much are just seeing M. Night Shyamalan movies, though.
With your children?
No, just me and my wife. They're old enough.
It's like grief.
No.
I did watch Signs at home in my family pursuit to resurge 80s and 90s and early 2000s movies. We watched Signs with my oldest two. And it was an experience for them, because that is a suspenseful,
heck yeah,
scary, great movie, because it doesn't have blood and gore.
Right.
And if there's a cuss word in there, they probably hear more inside our house from me than they did from the movie. And there's no like nudity or anything like that. Just great suspense.
Yeah.
And they were like not okay in the middle of it. And then at the end, they're like, that was a really good movie. I'm like, so you got to stick it out to the end.
Oh, man. My kids, I think, would have a conniption if we tried watching that.
We didn't watch it with my 8-year-old.
No. We're not ready.
She'd still be attached to me right now in here.
Yeah.
And that was like a month ago.
Yeah. All right. George W. Bush will not make a presidential endorsement.
This is also shocking.
It's a non-story that is a story. Former President George W. Bush and former First Lady Laura Bush will not be getting involved in this campaign, it seems, at all.
I think it's an endorsement for Trump.
Do you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Every other Republican out there that is in the swampy swamp anti-Trump world can't stop themselves from talking about supporting Harris. And they're not doing it.
It was amazing to me to see over the weekend some of the Twitter accounts I follow that are leftists on purpose. I try to get a broad range of opinions on things, saying, oh, this is a great endorsement. I'm thinking, of all the people, you would hate anything ever that Dick Cheney would endorse Kamala Harris. They hate that man with a burning passion. I don't have any particular affinity for him.
Did we say Dick Cheney out loud?
I don't know if we said it out loud or not.
Well, we did now.
Yeah. Okay. I just thought maybe
making
I...
Sure?
Yeah, we did. We did.
Here?
Yes.
Okay. Dick Cheney, Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger, Mitt Romney's not supporting Harris, but not supporting Trump. David French.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Just like you said, I think, gosh, in the last segment,
I don't really know
irrelevant.
If I can support Donald Trump now.
Can you imagine the person
I'm
who's
very
like...
very conflicted.
My gosh. Like, that was waiting, that George W. Bush would have made the deciding
factor. I really thought W. had come through. I don't know if we can win Texas now.
Mm-mm. I'm just going to sit this one out then if W. is not telling me who to vote for.
I still like George W. Bush.
Good for you.
Thank you.
The...
For me.
Two of the biggest names in the Breakfast Game are teaming up, Annie.
Aunt Jemima, is she back?
No.
Oh.
Hormel and General Mills. It's the other two you were thinking of.
Hormel?
Hormel and General Mills, they are introducing two different companies teaming up to give you Black Label Cinnamon Toast Crunch Bacon. Now, before you judge it.
Judge it or?
The product.
Well, okay.
Inside each package, you can expect to find thick-cut bacon, hand-rubbed with a Cinnadust seasoning blend made from Cinnamon Toast Crunch. When cooked, the crisp bacon has a sweet, savory, salty flavor profile that pairs perfectly with classic breakfast dishes like pancakes and French toast. Does that not sound fantastic? Cinnamon Toast Crunch bacon.
I don't... It's weird to me that it's the cereal.
Yeah, it's just...
I know you can do a lot of things with
bacon.
You
can do a lot of stuff with bacon. You've ever had candied bacon
before?
I'm
not really like a bacon exploratory type of person. But
you're not really
good.
A food exploratory type of person.
Not really.
But this...
I was going to push back on that, but you're right.
You wanted to fight, but no, there's no fight.
No.
But this is something that would fall within the category of things you would try, right?
I wouldn't. I wouldn't inherently not try it. I don't need to eat, like, the whole package.
Brad, candied bacon person?
No, I've never really liked the sweet on top of the savory.
Done right, though. If you do a maple glaze or something.
You can say, there are a ton of people out there that like it.
Yeah.
I am not one of those people. And it doesn't matter what you say. And I always get that same reaction from the same people that are always asking me to try some sort of sweet bacon. I don't like
honey on ham. Is this a high-pressure situation in your life?
It is.
Sounds like it happens a lot.
I know people that run restaurants, and they're like, why don't you eat this?
Terry, every Saturday morning, hey, Brad, I'm cooking something up. You ready to try it?
She's given up.
Kendrick Lamar is headlining the next Super Bowl halftime show. The question is...
It's about time they made that decision. Seems really early.
Now, what is this? This is the first weekend of the NFL.
Yes, it's the first weekend, but it is important that we report it. Go on.
Well, it's all over the place.
Name something that Kendrick Lamar does that I know.
That was my next question. Do you have any idea any of this guy's songs?
I'm certain I do, but you've heard me try to do like 60s and 70s rock. Same. I know the songs. I've heard of Kendrick Lamar.
I've heard of Kendrick Lamar. I've heard the name. So when I saw the headline, I thought, but I couldn't think of any of the songs. I looked up Kendrick Lamar's best songs, most famous songs, listened to them. I was even going to pull a clip. I can't.
They're all filthy?
At least the one I listened to that was the number one on YouTube, it was called like...
You don't know the name?
No, that's how much I don't know who this guy is.
Yeah, but you went to the trouble to do the research.
I'll tell you what, I looked it up at 11 o'clock. That's how long it didn't stick with me. This is a huge artist.
You're reporting.
Well, I did look it up, and I don't know how he's going to do at least that song, because it was constant.
Maybe there's a radio edit version of it.
I guess I'll find that
out
for tomorrow.
We'll never know because we don't know what you're talking about.
Kendrick Lamar. Look him up.
Now, that part is established. Will Scharf in studio next hour to tell us about Kendrick Lamar.
Wiggins. Monday Roundup. This here's the wildest ride in the wilderness.
I resist the temptation doing the Monday Roundup to just bring you box office news over the weekend every time.
That's good because I don't care.
Because, I don't
watch any movies.
Most of us probably don't care. But when there's a big story, like for instance, when we were talking about Wolverine and Deadpool, that was a big one.
Go on.
What?
Huge. Life-changing.
Hey, it was. Brad went and saw it. That means that it was worthwhile.
That was helpful.
Beetlejuice,
yay,
has drawn $110 million in its opening weekend, making it the third biggest premiere of the year and the second biggest September premiere ever. The first biggest September premiere ever was It. You have seen It. We talk about It.
Not the new one.
Oh, you haven't seen the new one?
Hell no.
Oh, I thought you had.
No, why?
I think because...
Why would you think that I would have?
Well, I think I'm getting you confused with my wife, who talks about... Yeah.
They'll never say that again.
She wants me to watch the new It really bad. And we've talked about It enough that I just put you in that category.
Sounds like we're talking about something, you know.
It. Yeah, you want me to watch It. You know what I mean. We can't sit around the kids. No, it's just
not our kids. Don't be confused about that.
So Beetlejuice is killing it at the box office. It was a much bigger opening than they expected. Do you have any interest in seeing this movie?
No.
No?
No. No.
Really?
Yeah, no.
Oh,
I didn't like the original.
I didn't like the original because I think I was 6 or 7 when it came out, and it was very, very dark and scary. I've watched it more recently, and it's a good movie, but I do want to see this movie. I guess I'm alone. I guess I'll go see it and give him my
There's no way you could have predicted that.
I know. I thought you guys, especially Brad, I didn't know if you were on the fence to me. I thought Brad would be interested in seeing Beetlejuice.
No, Brad's totally a Beetlejuice kind of guy. He felt judged. He felt you just made a statement about him.
Yeah, and I thought it was a positive one. It wasn't even trying to insult you.
What about
me
says wants to see Beetlejuice?
I don't know. I just thought you'd like your cinema buff.
No.
It's a big sequel.
No. I did hear that it's a Tim Burton film.
Mm-hmm.
I did hear from somebody on Twitter that it was just a good, entertaining movie, that there's no, they always say there's no woke stuff in it.
Good.
That's what they said. I don't know. I'm still not going to see it.
That's important.
If it happened to be on my television in my house when I was there, I'd probably play online poker while I watched it.
Man, you really don't care about seeing this movie. I almost am ready to go see it.
This is why we traditionally don't do movie stories, because I don't care about seeing any movies.
Well, let me say the movies
it's 2 hours of time that I don't have.
So that's the number three movie of the year. The other two mm-hmm. bigger movies of the year.
I did see Inside Out.
Inside Out 2.
Yes.
Okay.
For my kids.
Well, but it's on the list.
Yeah.
And you it went was to good. The theater.
It was good. I did.
So it's killing it. Inside Out 2, I think, is the number one movie of the year.
Went to see before Inside Out 2 in the theater?
Maybe Deadpool and Wolverine.
Maybe Frozen 2.
It's been that long?
Yeah.
Our kids are just at the age. We're starting to go back to the movie theater. We pretty much are just seeing M. Night Shyamalan movies, though.
With your children?
No, just me and my wife. They're old enough.
It's like grief.
No.
But I did watch Signs at home in our my family pursuit to resurge 80s and 90s and early 2000s movies. We watched Signs with my oldest two. And it was an experience for them because that is a suspenseful,
heck yeah,
scary, great movie because it doesn't have blood and gore.
Right.
And if there's a cuss word in there, they probably hear more Inside Our House from me than they do from the movie. And there's no like nudity or anything like that. Just great suspense.
Yeah.
And they were like not okay in the middle of it. And then at the end, they're like, that was a really good movie. I'm like, so you got to stick it out to the end.
Oh, man. My kids, I think, would have a conniption if we tried watching that.
No, we didn't watch it with my 8-year-old.
No, we're not ready.
She'd still be attached to me right now in here.
Yeah.
And that was like a month ago.
Yeah. All right. George W. Bush will not make a presidential endorsement.
This is also shocking.
It's a non-story that is a story. Former President George W. Bush and former First Lady Laura Bush will not be getting involved in this campaign, it seems, at all.
I think it's an endorsement for Trump.
Do you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Every other Republican out there that is in the swampy swamp anti-Trump world can't stop themselves from talking about supporting Harris. And they're not doing it.
It was amazing to me to see over the weekend some of the Twitter accounts I follow that are leftists on purpose. I try to get a broad range of opinions on things, saying, oh, this is a great endorsement. I'm thinking, of all the people, you would hate anything ever that Dick Cheney would endorse Kamala Harris. They hate that man with a burning passion. I don't have any particular affinity for him.
Did we say Dick Cheney out loud?
I don't know if we said it out loud
or not.
Well,
we did now.
Yeah. Okay. I just thought maybe
making
I...
Sure?
Yeah, we did. We did.
Here?
Yes.
Okay. Dick Cheney, Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger, Mitt Romney's not supporting Harris, but not supporting Trump, David French.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Just like you said, I think in the last segment, these
I don't
people
really
are
know
irrelevant.
If I can support Donald Trump now.
Can you imagine the person
I'm
who's
very
like...
very conflicted.
My gosh. Like that was waiting, that George W. Bush would have made the deciding factor.
I really thought W. had come through. I don't know if we can win Texas now.
Mm-mm. I'm just going to sit this one out then if W. is not telling me who to vote for.
I still like George W. Bush.
Good for you.
Thank you.
The...
For me.
Two of the biggest names in the Breakfast Game are teaming up, Annie.
Aunt Jemima, is she back?
No.
Oh.
Hormel and General Mills. It's the other two you were thinking of.
Hormel?
Hormel and General Mills, they are introducing two different companies teaming up to give you Black Label Cinnamon Toast Crunch Bacon. Now, before you judge it.
Judge it or?
The product.
Oh, okay.
Inside each package, you can expect to find thick cut bacon, hand rubbed with a Cinnadust seasoning blend made from Cinnamon Toast Crunch. When cooked, the crisp bacon has a sweet, savory, salty flavor profile that pairs perfectly with classic breakfast dishes like pancakes and French toast. Does that not sound fantastic? Cinnamon Toast Crunch bacon.
I don't, it's weird to me that it's the cereal.
Yeah, it just,
I know you can do a lot of things
you
with
can
bacon.
Do a lot of stuff with bacon. You've ever had candied bacon
I'm
before?
Not really like a bacon exploratory type of person. But
you're not really
good.
A food exploratory type of person.
Not really.
But this,
I was going to push back on that, but you're right.
You wanted to fight, but there's no fight.
No.
But this is something that would fall within the category of things you would try, right?
I wouldn't. I wouldn't inherently not try it. I don't need to eat like the whole package.
Brad, candied bacon person?
No, I've never really liked the sweet on top of the savory.
Done right though. If you do a maple glaze
Listen,
or something,
you can say, yeah. There are a ton of people out there that like it.
Yeah,
I am not one of those people.
and it doesn't matter what you say, and I always get that same reaction from the same people that are always asking me to try some sort of sweet bacon. I don't like
honey on ham. Is this a high-pressure situation in your life?
It is.
Sounds like it happens a lot.
I know people that run restaurants, and they're like, why don't you eat this?
Terry, every Saturday morning, hey, Brad, I'm cooking something up. You ready to try it?
She's giving up.
Kendrick Lamar is headlining the next Super Bowl halftime show. The question is...
It's about time they made that decision. Seems really early.
Now, what is this? This is the first weekend of the NFL.
Yes, it's the first weekend, but it is important that we report it. Go on.
Well, it's all over the place.
Name something that Kendrick Lamar does that I know.
That was my next question. Do you have any idea any of this guy's songs?
I'm certain I do, but you've heard me try to do like 60s and 70s rock. Same. I know the songs. I've heard of Kendrick Lamar.
I've heard of Kendrick Lamar. I've heard the name. So when I saw the headline, I thought, oh, maybe, but I couldn't think of any of the songs. I looked up Kendrick Lamar's best songs, most famous songs, listened to them. I was even going to pull a clip. I can't.
They're all filthy?
At least the one I listened to that was the number one on YouTube, it was called like...
You don't know the name?
No, that's how much I don't know who this guy is.
Yeah, but you went to the trouble to do the research. you just had to write it down.
I looked it up at 11 o'clock. That's how long it didn't stick with me. This is a huge artist.
You're reporting.
Well, I did look it up, and I don't know how he's going to do at least that song, because it was constant.
Maybe there's a radio edit version of it.
I guess I'll find that
out
for tomorrow.
We'll never know because we don't know what you're talking about.
Kendrick Lamar. Look him up.
Now, that part is established. Will Scharf in studio next hour to tell us about Kendrick Lamar.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.